A little girl is in the beginning of my sermon today, as it happens. A little girl was asked if Satan ever tempted her to do wrong. "Oh yes," she replied, "but when he knocks at the door of my heart, I just pray, 'Lord Jesus, please go to the door for me.'" "What happens then?" she was asked. "Oh, everything turns out all right. When Satan sees Jesus, he runs away every time." In her simple faith, that little girl realized that even the strongest Christian is no match for the devil. Only Jesus has defeated him. So our strength can only be in his strength. Sometimes the wisdom of the young ones is what we need to be reminded of when we're a bit further advanced in our years, isn't it? This little girl, she knows that there is wrong and she might be tempted to do wrong. She knows that she is weak and she knows where power lies and how to ask for help. Power is in the presence and power is in the enabling of Jesus. And today I am thoughtful about power, partly because I feel that in the news at the moment and in the turmoil of the world, the wider world, there are abuses of power that are very apparent and prevalent, and we could do with humility and with compassion and with a sense of using the power that we have, all of us, the power that we have for good and not for harm. And so I'm thoughtful about power, I'm thoughtful about the world, the people of this world, its creatures, and I'm thinking on a global scale, but I'm also thinking personally about my own power, my own capacity for good. And in this season of Lent, we are invited to reflect on our own lives and how we are living, how we're using our power and capacity for good or not in this world. And here we have Jesus in the wilderness, subjected to temptation, like we all are, because he was human as well as divine. And he's tempted in three particular ways. He's tempted to misuse his power because he could turn stones into bread, but he won't. He could misplace his worship. He could worship the devil. He's invited to, but he won't. And he is subjected to the temptation to mistake his calling. He's offered the chance to rule the world, but he chooses not to. These were his temptations in the wilderness in those days, those 40 days. I wonder what our temptations are. What are yours? What are mine? And we do well to be aware of them. And in a recent survey in a discipleship magazine, these were the temptations that were spoken of by people and ranked in order from 1 to 10, and these are what they were: materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, bitterness, lust, envy, gluttony, and lying. Something in that list may have caught you and reminded you of something in your own life, but it might not be those. Whatever you are aware of, that's your thing that is hard for you in this time of thoughtfulness about our use of our power for good or for evil. Just be aware of what that might be. So Jesus, let's be back with him. He could have made bread from stones. He created the world. He's the power to do anything. And he was very, very hungry. But he knew that he had not come to feed himself by making bread out of stones. He knew that he had come to become the bread of life. That his body would become the bread that would be broken and shared with all people for all time. He knew he had a much bigger purpose than feeding himself. And he knew where worship belonged, and also to whom the kingdoms of the world really belong, not to Satan, but to God. And they are not Satan's to give away. So he knew that was a lie. He knew that his purpose was to give his life away, not to have it saved by angels, if he were to cast himself off the roof of the temple. The angels would have saved him, but that's not what he came for. He came to give his life away. And every time the devil tempted him, he met that temptation with scripture. He quoted something, and clearly, he had studied the word of God so well that he knew how to counter what he was offered and tempted to. So if we want to be enabled in our own battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil, let's take his example. Spend time with God. Maybe not 40 days in the wilderness fasting. Not many of us can do that. Not many of us actually would survive that. But there may be some fasting that we are able to do, whether it's from something that's physically nourishing or some other thing that we can take a break from in order to spend more time with God over the period of Lent. I wonder if we can. Secondly, if we're to resist temptation, we must know the Bible, because the Bible will tell us how it is that we're supposed to live, what it is that we're supposed to believe, and how it is that we can counter something that seems like it might be a good idea to the devil to suggest to us. If we know what Scripture says, then we'll be able to say, sorry, but no, that's not God's way. And that won't be my way. So know our Bibles and pray. Speak with the Holy One. Listen to his words. Survey that I was telling you about with the ranked temptations that there were, that people acknowledged in their lives. They were asked, how were you able to resist the temptations as they came to you in your life? And this is what people said. The temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time with God. That was 81% of them said that. When they were physically tired, 57%. Said that temptation was harder to resist. However, resisting temptation was accomplished by prayer, 84%, avoiding compromising situations, 76%, Bible study, 66%, and being accountable to someone, 52%. So I'm really with all of those and with endorsing and encouraging you and myself with how to align ourselves with good. I'm thoughtful about the last one, being accountable to someone. And I'm thinking how Simon and I in recent days have been talking to each other about how we're trying to live in Lent and the things that we've decided to do or not do. that we might encourage one another with. And if you're able to share your Lent resolutions with anyone, your intentions, please do, and check with each other, how are we doing? It's not that we are going to give each other a hard time over it, so much as to encourage. And we know that the Holy One is so forgiving and so full of mercy and so full of goodness himself that he meets our failure and our faltering and our falling with such mercy and with such love and such holding out of his arms towards us, like these young parents do with their little ones, to lift them up when they fall and hold them close when they need to be comforted and encouraged. So let's be with that image. But we can't really fail. We can't really fail. If we manage to keep our resolutions and to live a life more aligned with Jesus, fantastic. And if we don't, what we meet is his greater love and his mercy. He likes nothing more than to gather up someone who's stumbled and fallen and tend to them. I'm with Jesus as he came out of the wilderness and he began his ministry then, fortified by being in such close company with his Father and in conversation with him, hearing his voice. And if the best thing we can do over the next 6 weeks or so is to listen more carefully to the voice of the Father, then we will be already aligned more with the Son, with Jesus, becoming more like him. And if you feel, therefore, that you are even more encouraged to join the Lent course, hearing God's voice for ordinary people, please do. Please do. A final quote that I'll read quite slowly to help us be with the only one that can really enable us to have power to resist at times what we find really hard, humanly speaking. This is by somebody called F.B. Meyer, and he wrote this. There is only one way by which the tempter can be met. He laughs at our good resolutions and ridicules the pledges with which we fortify ourselves. Satan fears only one, he who in the hour of greatest weakness defeated him, and who now has been raised far above all principalities and powers to deliver frail and tempted souls. Christ conquered the prince of this world in the days of his flesh and is prepared to do as much again for each of us as we seek his aid. Let's pray. Jesus, like the little girl who said that when Satan knocks on the door of her heart, she sends you to answer the door, we ask that we may align ourselves with that loving and wonderful impulse of hers, that we will send Jesus to the door of our heart whenever we are tempted to do something that would not be his way, would not express his love or his compassion or his humility. We pray this for ourselves, and we pray it as widely as it will reach in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.